Howdy doody.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
You can yes ma'am me all day long.
Okie dokie. Calls here in just a moment. Keep them coming. 576-7798. But before we get to that, let's go to our local congressman, the Honorable Kevin Yoder, on the hotline. Hello, sir. Mr. Congressman?
Hey, Scott. Yeah, hey. I'm here. Sorry.
Hey, you picked a good day to skip practice.
Yeah.
What? First of all, you are on this baseball team. Is that correct? The Republican baseball team?
I have played in the last 4 years and have gone to that field dozens of times to practice. I frankly haven't gone much this year just because I've been so busy with other things going on. And as you know, it's been a brisk pace here and different things going on in Congress, and so I just haven't had the time to go.
Well, let me ask you this, and we'll get into some other questions about congressional security and you know, the fact that Scalise, and God bless him, I know he's in critical condition right now, but if Congressman Scalise had not been there, and we'll get to this in a second, it may have been much, much worse. We may be talking about a complete slaughter of members of Congress. But to a question we had last hour on the program, Mr. Congressman, are these baseball practices well known about? Are they publicized? Would someone know that a group of, say, 20 Republican members of Congress were all on this baseball field that morning?
I don't think so. They're not well publicized. You'd have to be watching pretty closely. Maybe someone's Instagram picture they posted. I mean, it's not secret by any means, but it's not really covered. I wouldn't even know how you would find the ballpark, the address of it, online. I mean, I don't, this shooter had to have some, done some research, to know what was going on here. And somebody had to have mentioned it, you know, where he picked up and then started working to find it. I was frankly really stunned. And I tell you, I've been to that park, as I said, dozens of times. It's usually a 6 a.m. practice. The last thing you would think of is that there would be a shooting there. I mean, it would never even dawn on me. You might see a few people walking their dogs, around the neighborhood. This is about 20 minutes south of Washington, D.C. It's a suburban, outside the city, the D.C. area. So you're off the capital.
Sure.
You just wouldn't even think about it.
Where were you and how did you first hear that this happened?
I was in my apartment here in Washington, started getting texts from my colleagues, in a panic. And, of course, called and talked to my wife and started receiving texts from friends and family back home and people just really worried. And at first it was just sort of, shocking. And then, of course, you kind of move on from that. It's surreal. And now it's really starting to set in. It's a real somber mood today in Congress. I've never seen anything like it. There probably wasn't a dry eye in the House when we had a meeting earlier. People are upset. A lot of people are recounting their own death threats they've received, scary incidents that people were worried that something like this could happen to them. And so it's really brought out a fear that, not only was there an active, shooting incident, which is always horrible wherever it happens in the country, but that it was a shooting incident specifically targeting members of Congress to assassinate them, I guess, for lack of a better term, and specifically Republican members. And no way has this become a partisan issue, but people are just, is this where politics has gone that, this type of thing is happening?
Well, Congressman, we were stunned, or I should say I was stunned. Scott said he was not surprised. I was stunned to learn that you could have a gathering of 20 or 30 of our leaders in the United States in one open spot, and there would not be any security but for some of the higher leadership that might be there and have their own security detail. Does that change after today?
I think it probably does. Honestly, it wasn't even ever discussed. No one ever even thought about it. I guess maybe it's one of those innocence is lost moments. But it's going to be in the back of everyone's mind for a long time, not just at baseball practices, but at other events where there's large gatherings of members. And yes, the Capitol Police officers are the real story today. I mean, obviously, my good friend and colleague, he's been in my home in Overland Park, Steve Scalise, is on all of our minds and prayers, and we, gosh, we're praying that he comes out of this okay. But our heroes are our Capitol Police officers who, Dana, as you point out, were only there to actually guard him.
Right.
And how he ends up being the one to get shot is just a terrible, you know, a point here. But if he wasn't at practice, there would have not been a police officer or a Capitol security guard within miles. And you've got U.S. senators out there. You had Senator Rand Paul and Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona. I mean, you have some of the higher-ups. You have committee chairman, the chair of the Ways and Means Committee is writing the tax bills out there. I mean, these are many senior members. Frankly, probably shouldn't still be playing baseball, but that's all another story.
Youth is wasted on the young, isn't it, Kevin?
What's that?
Youth is wasted on the young, isn't it?
Well, my joke has been, you know, I'm 41 now, and people are saying, are you playing? I said, you know, I just haven't been playing this year. I said, nobody wants to see an old 41-year-old still trying to round the bases, and they're like, you're the youngest guy out there.
Well, let me, you know, I was mentioning this, and I don't suspect that you had an opportunity to listen, nor would you be expected to, but I was recounting when we were in Washington, in fact, this week, last summer, mm-hmm. and how my family met you outside the Capitol, if you'll recall, and there were Congress people everywhere, and not one time was I screened or I got out of a taxi cab with my family, yeah. and we met you outside on the sidewalk. Is the security around the Capitol going to have to change?
Well, the security around the Capitol itself is pretty tight. I mean, people walking up, of course, it's a pedestrian mall in many ways, and that would be probably something we wouldn't want to change. But, you know, there are a ton of very well-trained security guards standing on the steps and you know, watching. It would be hard, I think, to gain much opportunity there as a shooter. But, you know, something like where there's 25 members gathered for some type of event, I think those days are probably, without security, those days may be gone.
Yeah.
You know, but only 5 members of Congress have security, 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats in the leadership on each side out of 435. The other members don't have any security at all, and there's some people who've been calling for that. You know, after Gabby Giffords was shot at a town hall meeting in 2011, there were calls that, okay, you know, members, we need to create a budget for members to have be able to afford security detail to go with them. And I think at this point that's probably an overreaction. You know, we need to be accessible to the public. We need to be available. And we're not going to take security with us wherever we go. The leadership does because, you know, Paul Ryan's, you know, in line to be president after the vice president. And so, you know, some of those top people need to be, but I don't think you'll see security for Reagan.
Well, and logistically, that would be a nightmare, not to mention fiscally. It would be, I mean, just extraordinarily
expensive. Extremely expensive, and I don't know that we would even want that. I mean, when you talk to the guys who have it, they're like, the security is a curse. You know, it's a blessing and a curse because you're restricted. Your flow is restricted.
Well, I was listening to Nancy Pelosi earlier this morning, when she was giving her speech before Congress. I assume that you were in the audience, and she was saying something effective, you know, outside of, I believe she used the name Barack Obama, a few people in this hall have received as many death threats as I have. I don't say that that's not true, yeah. And I'm not trying to give anybody an idea or give them any credit. Have you received death threats?
You know, I think we have. I honestly don't know. They don't bring a lot of that stuff to my attention. You know, I've received, you know, some Facebook messages that many people would perceive as death threats, but I just assume it's just people trying to get my attention. If there's ever something that sounded specific or that mentioned a family member or something right. like that, of course I would immediately react. But I remember someone sent me something a while back that said, like, I hope you and your whole family dies of leaking gas, a gas leak over Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Kind of weird, but I just think, okay, that person's just crazy.
Well, and what's we've been pointing out, Congressman, is that there was nothing in this particular gunman's background outside of just political anger. I would call it run-of-the-mill political anger over health care and taxes. There was nothing in his background that would have raised a red flag, even if somebody knew that he should be on the radar.
Yeah, I do think, and I'm assuming he didn't make a threat. We don't know, but, you know, there are death threats every single day on members of Congress, right? And they reported to Capitol Police. The police go investigate them to see if they're as serious or not. We've had some people run off the, you know, chased by constituents, you know, around. And so, I think what the result of this is that you keep your eyes open. You don't put yourself in a stupid situation where, you know, where you have 25 members who could be potentially vulnerable all at one time. But you can't live in fear. You got to do your jobs. You got to be accessible. Yeah. So the other thing about this is you are seeing members of Congress being really unified today. And if there's anything good that ever comes from a tragedy, is it unifies our country. It unifies the people. And I think you've seen Republicans and Democrats today really kind of hugging each other and saying, hey, we're all on the same team and we're all Americans first. And, you know, who knows how long that lasts. But for a day here, you know, you felt like you were one Congress. And that's a pretty neat moment.
Yeah. All right. Congressman Kevin Yoder, hit a home run for the 3rd District tomorrow night, okay?
Okay.
All right. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. That is Congressman Kevin Yoder from the 3rd District of Kansas. He is on the Republican baseball team. Just happened to not go to practice this morning. Thank God for that. Your calls in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.